May only his words be spoken, only his words heard. Amen. Temptations, following our series, grumbling from Numbers chapter 21. I want to begin today by having you take a look at a montage. I've entitled this, The Face of Grumbling. Okay. I was assured that it was ready. Ooh. Did anybody see their face up there? No, of course not. Yes, a grumbling doesn't just affect one's face. It affects many things about us. Yes, it even affects the way we sound. The English word grumbling is an onomatopoeia, which means that the meaning of the word audibly represents its definition. Another way of putting it, it imitates or resembles or suggests the very source of the sound that it describes. So say it, if you say it over and over again, you hear that drone. Grumble, 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 grumble. And what does it do to your face? When you're grumbling, your face naturally goes this way, right? If, on the other hand, you're saying, thank you, thank you, thank you, look what happens. You know, it goes up. So today we're taking up this temptation, this G word, grumbling, and there are those like it, griping, grievances, grudges, grouchy, grousing. Boy, the 8 o'clock crowd had a whole bunch of other words, you know, but they weren't G words, but they had sniveling and things like that. Grumbling and dissatisfaction was certainly a part of the original temptation in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve, though having incredible blessings, material and spiritual blessings, nevertheless thought God was holding something back. Why couldn't they eat from that one tree in the garden? Why? Why? Why, God? This reminds me somewhat of teenagers, but it could be any generation, who stand in front of a refrigerator stocked with food and still exclaim, "There's nothing to eat." Or how about standing in front of a wardrobe stuffed with clothes and complain, "I have nothing to wear." Now, you've never done that. Then, of course, there are the Israelites. They were given this perfect law, this perfect way to conduct their lives. If they followed it, this sheer perfection, it would have given them prosperity, health, and every blessing. In her autobiography, My Life So Far, Jane Fonda reveals an interesting detail about dating and marrying the media mogul Ted Turner. On one of their very first dates, he bragged about replacing the Ten Commandments. Remember this? With what he called the 10 voluntary initiatives, which included things like caring for the earth, having no more than 2 children per family, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. He assured Fonda that in the modern world, people just couldn't stomach being commanded to do anything. Well, in our scripture today, the Old Testament scripture, we see that what the Israelites did continually while in the wilderness for 40 years. They grumbled, they complained, they protested, they wailed, even threatened Moses and Aaron with stoning. If you want to know how serious God is about this sin, this temptation, if succumbed to, then note the severe punishment God heaps on people who go there. The Israelites, I'm talking about. Plagues, snake bites, ground swallowing them up, lightning bolts, and other things, and of course, death. It's a serious sin against God. The people ignoring all God had done for them, freeing them from slavery, providing supernaturally food and water in the desert. Continually, these people said such things as, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt, there we sat around pots of meat." Hardly. To grumble like this was treating God with contempt. It's a whole lot more than distrusting him, because they had seen with their own eyes these incredible miracles. Things we probably will never see. Crossing the Red Sea, food on the ground every day except on the Sabbath. They saw these things, and still they doubted. Still they complained and rebelled. So let's open up this temptation, investigate it. Why do we do it? What is the motive for us to complain and grumble? Moses warned the people, "You are not grumbling against me. Your complaint is really against God." It's the blame game. And yes, ultimately God gets the blame. Why do we grumble? Because we want to blame someone. Some time back, I thought this was really interesting. In Colorado, there was this man who brought a malparenting suit against his mother and father. He sued them for the princely sum of $300,000, claiming they had loused up his life. They had intentionally done a terrible job of parenting and made him the man he was. Well, the judge dismissed the suit, saying that there must be a statute of limitations. Aren't you glad? And then he went on to say that there must be a time when an adult takes responsibility for his or her own life. And if we don't, then we'll have plenty of other suits against brothers and sisters and teachers and even friends. When you get right down to it, this man with this suit against his parents, who was he really blaming? Didn't God give him the parents that he had? So let's go back to Adam and Eve in the garden. When confronted by God with their sin, Adam said this, "The woman you put here with me gave me some of the fruit from the tree and I ate it." What an incredibly stupid thing to say. So who is Adam really blaming? Who is he blaming? God, the woman you put here with me. He didn't mind it earlier on, you know, kind of liked the idea. Got tired of those monkeys and giraffes and whatever he had to relate to. So we grumble because we want to blame someone. Obviously, another reason we grumble has to do with our desires, our expectations of what we should have. We feel cheated. Some have the philosophy contained in that little refrain, "It pays to complain. After all, it's the surly bird that gets the worm." Or maybe there's the more familiar, "It's the squeaking wheel that gets the
grease."
Okay, oil. Yeah, grease. That's right. Let me ask you this. What is it that God hasn't given you? What is it that God hasn't given you? Why should we feel so entitled or so lacking? We want more, even though we've been given so much. Why do we grumble? Because we think we need more. We also grumble because, like the Israelites, we have an insufficient view of God and what He has done for us. I remember a cartoon in the first frame. Man's looking up to heaven, and he is saying to God, "Why are all these bad things happening to me?" And in the second frame, there's this big finger that comes out of the sky and points to the man's chest. And God says, "Because there is something about you that I just don't like." Now, this is just the opposite of what God does. And I want to emphasize it, just the opposite. He has loved you in spite of you. One of the mountaintop verses in Scripture is this one. "If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not, along with Him, graciously give us all things?" Wow, that's great. What greater blessing can we have? The Father gave us Jesus, His grace, His forgiveness, His joy, His peace, His hope, His salvation, His eternal life. Much more than a snake on a pole, He gives us His Son on a cross. An unimaginable love for people like you and me who don't deserve it. Back to that verse from Romans, I think one of the key words is, He gave His Son for all of us, no one excluded. So let me ask you, how do we resist this temptation? How do we defeat it? Cultivate gratitude. Cultivate gratitude. In Philippians, we are told to do everything without complaining and arguing. Whenever you are tempted to complain or grumble, which is going to happen today, sometime today, you're going to be tempted to grumble about something, complain about something. Resist it and let it be the cue for you to think about what there is to be thankful for. Just as there's always something to complain about, there's always something to celebrate and thank God for. We're hungry, but we're not starving. We're going through a difficult time, but life is not really that horrible. We're having a bad day, but it really isn't a crisis. The good old days we long for really weren't all that different from the present. Bad things always happen to you. They happen to others too. Bad things always happen to you. Yeah, but a lot of good things happen to you too. You may feel like you never win at anything, but the truth is you've been given lots of good things in your life. You aren't the only one to struggle. Even people who have a life that seems better and more prosperous than you, they have some of the same struggles you do too. You're just not aware of it. I found a really good real-life example. We're going to be announcing when Fred Chaffee, a very good member here, comes to 8 o'clock service. He passed away on Friday. A number of us had the opportunity to be there on Friday, and he didn't lose his consciousness. He was able to speak, hardly, but he was able to speak. He recognized whatever we were saying to him. Now, he had an operation that was supposed to give him a couple more years of life, but as it turns out, it was not to be. In fact, probably the operation was unnecessary. Maybe. But this is what he was doing in my presence. This is a man filled with gratitude, filled with a love for Christ. And he did it with Pastor Justin and both of us. You know, we were reading him in Scripture. He was smiling at us and winking at us. He was ready. Now, if ever there was a man who could be embittered and not have had gratitude at that moment in his life, it was this man who went through so much that was unnecessary. He was going to die. But he died thinking of his Savior with gratitude for all the life he had been given, and been given much. Why do we grumble? And how do we defeat it? Cultivate gratitude in your life. Secondly, train yourself to think about Jesus every day and in what he's brought to your life. Think about his promises. Meditate on his words. Review his interactions with people in the Gospels, which means you need to read them. This action on your part will dissolve grumbling like Drano unstops a clogged drain. Thoughts of Jesus and the spirit of grumbling cannot remain in the same heart. He has loved us with an incredible love. We can't think of all that Jesus has done for us and be a grumbling person. Finally, live generously. The Israelites proved that grumbling is contagious. But so is a grateful and thankful person. If you want to influence people, as Christ wants you to do, then you need to be cheerleaders of the gospel. Grumbling will only keep people away from Christ. Have you ever been to a church, hopefully not here, where you come into the church and everybody looks very serious and stern? And the word serious is not really what comes to mind, but they have a sort of a kind of a disapproving look on their face. Now, they may be dealing with constipation or something like that. I don't know, but I mean, you know. So we can't judge people too harshly. But you see this look upon people. About 37 years ago, I think it was, 37 years ago, I was doing my internship, my vicarage. And I had a very wise pastor at this church in Oregon. And he taught me something that I've tried to practice, probably not always, but he said, when you come and greet people, right before you preach or right before you're greeting people, smile at them. Look at them and smile. He said, first of all, do you like them? Well, yeah, I do, right? Are you going to preach the gospel to them? Yes. That's a good thing, isn't it? He said to me, yes, that's a good thing, right? And even when you preach the law, you can do it in a gracious way. And that has stuck with me. Through my life. Because sometimes I've sat where you have sat, and I've heard pastors get up, and they look like they're angry with you. You know? They might be in my case, I don't know, but I mean, my fellow colleagues, you know. But I'm not angry with you. And I am thankful for the people God has given me in this place to preach to and to lead. So be thankful and cheerful and generous people who draw others to Jesus. We have been forgiven much so that we can love much. So at least for today, when you leave here, smile at somebody. Be gracious. Even if you've had a rough night, I understand. You've had rough days, okay. So has everybody else. God's been good to us. So here's your out-the-door action items. You ready? It was supposed to be a slide for this, my fault, but here we go. Number one, cultivate gratitude. Do you have a lot to be thankful for? And when a complaint or a protest comes to mind, let it be a cue to you to say, wait a minute, but I'm thankful for this and I'm thankful for that. Number two, train yourself to think about Jesus every day and how much he has given you. Has he given you a lot? Oh, yeah. And three, live generously and so influence people. Become a contagious Christian. Okay, we're going to grumble. We're going to complain. We're going to protest. But, like everything else that we do that is wrong, God forgive me, I'm going to do better today. In the name of Jesus and to his glory, amen?
Amen.
Amen. Please rise.